Elizabeth Marshall Thomas has welcomed us into her home here in Peterborough, New Hampshire. I'm Paula Gordon. Bill Russell, you were talking about these niches and the clarity of living with or without water.
It really is a question. It seems from the outside, I mean, we particularly in modern developed world, we got a lot of latitude. You know, we can go find water lots of different places. We can find food lots of different places. And the broader ecology, those things we haven't wiped out, there's latitude. And this really constrained environment, it would seem that the ecology, you know, that there would be a crispness to it that would not be the case, that you literally had to adapt or die. And that those adaptations had occurred over millennia, and maybe millions of years. So I would think just being able to see that and see humans in that kind of precision, and for them to survive, they had to have adapted, which made them very integral to the natural system, didn't it?
They were one of the fauna of the African savanna, and an important one. They were not the top predators. The lions had that honor. I think there were wild dogs were much more. Wild dogs are another top predator. Wild dogs nail just about everything they go after. I mean, they have a huge success rate, which people did not. People had a good success rate. I'm going to take that back. I think wild dogs ate. I read Richard Estes, who's a marvelous field biologist. He wrote that. Wild dogs had breakfast, dinner, and lunch on an almost daily basis. And people, it would take, and this was in Serengeti, but people would take, but wild dogs are very successful. So even there were two predators that were better off than us. But
so humans didn't get breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
No. People for the hunting part, they only part of their food came from hunting as opposed to wild dogs. But it could take days and days to successfully complete a hunt, and it would take several days or a long time perhaps to find something to shoot, put a poison arrow in it, then you have to follow it for days until the poison does its work and the animal is too sick to go on. The people themselves said lions were better hunters than they were, which I thought was, forthright people, gosh.
Hats off to the better adapted.
And hats off to the people for not putting themselves first.
What a concept. One of the many, many things, as I read my way through, and again, thinking about these niches, talk about who gets the sunlight and who gets the coolness. Talk about who gets to pick who's going to go to the waterhole in the day and who's going to go at night. I love this.
Well, with lions are water dependent. They have to drink water. People have to drink water every day. Lions have to. All the predators have to. But the antelope did not. They were water independent. They can go for a season, days or a season. They do it by raising their inner temperature, raising their body temperature. And if ours went up to that extent, we'd die. But they do fine. They stay in the shade, and they graze at night or browse at night. And there's a little bit of moisture in the dew, so they get a little bit from that. But also they spend their energy at night and stand in the shade in the daytime. Okay. They're a different story, a whole different story from those who need to drink water. Okay, there's only a few water holes, so there isn't one for the lions and one for the people. There's one for everybody. And the people and the lions divided the time so that the people used it by day, and the whole area, the whole territory, not only just drinking from the water hole, but doing their hunting. The lions hunted at night. The people hunted in the daytime. Their paths just about never crossed unless the people never went to take a visit and look at the lions. Now and then the lions would come and take a look and visit the people to see what was going on, and you'd see these big eyes and three or four pairs of big green eyes, and you know the lions. The lions are back, and the bushmen, you know, what do they want, and why are they doing this? But the bushmen always successfully they talked to them in strong tones, but not rude tones. I mean, the tone was just firm and strong and respectful. And they spoke respectfully to the lions, and the lions would sort of stand around and maybe grumble a little bit, but then they just go.
So who got the day and who got the night, and how
the lions got the night and the people got the day. They didn't, and they didn't, the only times, as I was saying, when they came together would be if the lions wanted to and came to the bushmen.
I have always assumed, I just want to finish this, I've always assumed, well, of course the day is all you want. I mean, of course you want to be, well, let's see, if you're on the savannah and it's really hot.
Yes.
Which is the better time to have?
Oh, yes, that issue. Night is absolutely the preferred time. The birds, some birds, and not all, and a few mammals, including people, are diurnal. Everything else is nocturnal. The night is vastly preferable.
So we get...
Second best.
That's humbling. Mm-hmm.
That's because somebody else is top of the food chain.
That's right. Somebody else was top of the food chain. That's right.
The cultural relationship, and I use culture with respect to both populations, the relationship between humans and lions, as you recount it, is a remarkable story. The adaptations... And those adaptations juxtaposed or contraposed to how it was in other areas and how it became.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so.
To me, it was just a fascinating story.
Very much so. The people and the lions had a very strong, essentially unviolated hands-off policy. There are instances of lions attacking people in that area, but the ones that people have brought to my attention to refute my presentation are after 1980, and that by that time it was too late. I mean, then there were cattle, there was stuff, there was...
And the deal was off?
The deal was off by then.
Between the lions and the humans?
Oh, yes. It was a whole different story. But there was no reason not to have a truce. It was better for everybody to have a different time of day, they hunted the same animals, they drank from the same water, they lived very much the same. A pride of lions weighed about the same as a group of bushmen.
A pride of people.
A pride of people, yeah. And if you weighed them all up and put them on a big celestial balance beam, they would be about the same.
Huh.
So it took about the same amount of meat to feed one or the other, so they all went after big animals. They would take the little ones, but their quarry was the big ones. They also, let's see, what else? Cooperated with childcare, had groups of, they were related, people were often, the lions, I don't know the composition of every lion pride, and so who knows, are there those in there who are friends? Well, male lions have friends, but not necessarily litter mates, but I don't know about the females. But
are both of them hierarchical?
Essentially there was a relationship, a kinship was involved in the groups. This is true of lions, and it's true of people. They cooperate in childcare, both of them.
There's a tendency, I'm listening to you talking about lions, and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, well, she's going to say that all lions do this, and all antelopes do this. But what appears to be the case is each pride has, you know, there's individuality. There are individuals within the group, just as there are with the bushmen. And then the tendency is to say, all bushmen are the same.
Yeah, that's right.
If I'm an anthropologist, I go down. You've seen one, you've seen them all.
You would refute that, wouldn't you?
I think there's cultural variety, there is individual variety, of course, and other creatures have that too, just as, not necessarily in the same ways we do, but they have it, and I think that's something people should take into account when they're thinking about other kinds of creatures. But to go back to the lions and the people, it worked out best when they did their hunting at different times of day and so forth and so on.
And this had evolved over eons.
I don't know when it. I mean, it was. Why didn't the lions hunt the people? I don't know. I don't even have a good idea. I mean, the people could decimate the lions if they wanted to with poison arrows, but the lions could decimate the people much faster. And a lion wounded with a poison arrow isn't going to die for several days. So
he can kill a lot of people
in that
in the
time,
meantime.
He can do quite a number on the people. There's no place to go. You can't go up a tree. I mean, the trees aren't big enough. And the lions can, if it's big enough for a person to climb, I mean, there are some trees that a person could climb and be safe from a lion, but they're not everywhere. And you have to be near one if the, you know, and it just isn't, the idea of making war on lions just is a very impractical one. And the people had spears that were short. I don't think I have one. Those are Dedoth spears from the Maasai-like people. They hunted lions.
But they were also...
They were pastoralists. But the Bushmen's equipment was hunting equipment, not in battle equipment, and they didn't. The idea of spearing a lion would be extremely risky. They just didn't, and there's no point in taking great risks if your group depends on you, and if they depend on your food getting ability, and then you are all torn up. They have to take care of you. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, this is, again, is one of the lessons. We tend to think in black and white terms. Mm-hmm. You know, either we're good friends, you know, we can make pets out of the lions.
That's right.
Or they're our terminal enemies.
That's right.
And this is life at the margin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a small error can have big consequences. Mm-hmm. And the lions, you know, probably as well as humans understand that, you know,
whether it's
rationalized, put in the linguistic terms, written up in the lion anthropologist notes or whatever. But that, and there's a piece of this that seems to be germane, and that's the oblique. The rather than confronting one another or running from one another, there's a tendency to shear off one direction or the other, which seems to me to be almost metaphorical for that relationship. It was not black and white. They would encounter one another and then move off at an angle.
Move off at an angle. Yes.
In both cases.
In both cases.
The subtlety of which we are speaking is explored by Elizabeth Marshall Thomas in The Old Way, as she did talking about the lions in Tribe of Tiger, as many have come to know her in The Hidden Life of Dogs. Those who have read your novels, you have given us many opportunities to learn more about who and what we are, and we'll give each other that opportunity when we return in a moment.